As I mentioned before, it's a little different, the Sabbath. You know, what's surprising is that we're actually instructed and counseled not to expect a sermon every Sabbath. If we don't expect a sermon every Sabbath, then what do we do? We're actually told to share testimonies, share practical ways, and refresh one another. And what better time than to be reminded of the great task before us? We now have, you know, we're going to actually open up the floor just for, and if anybody has testimonies on maybe witnessing that they've never shared before in front of the, to encourage one another, we're going to just open up the floor.
Hi, everyone. Happy Sabbath. I have a testimony on GLOW because I've been passing out a whole bunch lately. I think I took 2 bundles about last month, and I'm almost out. I have about half of a quarter left. But I take the bus to school every day, and it's like a 2-hour bus ride. And what I do while I wait is I pass out GLOW. Right? And so, like, I meet a lot of interesting people, and there's this one day I was waiting outside of my dance studio for the bus, and I met this woman, and she happened to be a ex-SDA that used to go to Long Beach SDA church, but somehow they got really distracted and they fell away from God, and she's just like, I couldn't go back to church, and ever since then I haven't gone back. And so I shared my testimony with her on how I came to church. And I gave her a GLOW, and she asked me if there was any way that she can get a Bible study sometime. And I gave her the address to our church, and I gave her several other addresses to other churches around the area. And so we went over the GLOW, and we had a short Bible study at the bus, and a long talk about how God has changed our lives, and we just want to worship him and praise him and do his work. So I've been talking to her lately, and she's been going back to church, so it was a really big blessing to know that I could help somebody. So, yeah.
Thank you, Laura. Anybody else? It doesn't have to be with GLOW. Just anywhere in the workplace or people you've just run across, and you just haven't had the chance to share with everybody how God has worked through you to reach somebody. Anybody else have a testimony?
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Hello, everyone. This is Muxuhan. Of course, you know me as a pastor for the Oakland. With me at a church in Northern California. In March of this year, which is a couple months back, we invited Pastor Vince, Jessica, Wong, and many of the Del Monte youth to come to visit, to preach, to do a witness, and most importantly, to do a GLOW training for our group. As a church, as a group, we want to learn how to give our tracts, and we want to learn how to enroll Bible study. The training was a blessing to us, and our church was very receptive, especially our youth. Well, after the training was over, the following Sabbath, we went out to the community right away to pass out both flyers in Vietnamese, GLOW tracts, to knock on doors. And after we were doing that, someone from our group suggested that we should do it in the mornings because our church, we did not start until 12:30. So the next Sabbath, we went out in the morning to do the same thing, to pass out flyers in Vietnamese and English, to pass out GLOW tracts and to enroll Bible studies. And from this effort, the Lord has blessed us with 7 Bible studies. So I just want to praise God for blessing us our effort. So, amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Did you guys catch that? Isn't that amazing? That, you know, I didn't anticipate that kind of result, but, you know, it's pretty cool because I actually talked to one of the church members, An Tuong, who's up there, and he was just saying it's so exciting, you know, even though there are some people that get rejected, but we know that God just opens up doors, and, you know, the youth, we don't even have to tell them. They're calling us to go out there, and so it's amazing to see how God is working, that there is so much work to be done, and it's awesome to see God really moving on the churches. So does anybody have testimonies? Just
When I was at work, there's this guy named Salvador Vargas, and what I do is I do fundraising and marketing for a televangelism network or ministry. There you go. almost forgot what I did right there. Ministry. And, you know, there's this person called Salvador Vargas, and he was a Pentecostal a church member. And for the longest time, he would go to the Pentecostal church. And one day he called me up and says, you know what? I got in touch with the Seventh-day Adventist message, Pastor Carlton Bird, and I saw your ministry on 3ABN. And from since on that day forward, I stopped going to my Pentecostal church and had worship every Saturday in front of the TV. And I want to praise God for that, because he would say things, you know what? And the next week he would call in and says, you know what? God has been impressing me that I need a tithe. I don't know where I have the money, but I need a tithe. And so he would donate $100 every week, $100. And for the longest time, he would say, you know what, John, I don't have the money, but for some reason, when I give to you guys, I have extra money. And so one week, he tried God out, and he gave $300. And what happens is that when he was budgeting his stuff, when he was budgeting his budget, he came on top $300. And so it didn't stop at there. Week after week, I was following this guy. And he would call me up and say, John, you don't understand. Satan has been trying to pull me apart, but you give it about two more weeks. And he calls back and he says, John, you wouldn't believe it. My Pentecostal family members are starting to accept the Seventh-day Adventist message. And so he's not only converting his close friends and his family members, but check this out. He even had his pastor, his old previous Pentecostal pastor, reached out to her and he was shocked, because all of his family members are Seventh-day Adventists, and for some reason he became a Pentecostal pastor, and for the longest time he was getting the impression to switch back to being a Seventh-day Adventist. And Sal came in there and gave him a Bible study and was able to draw into that. Can you imagine the passion behind that? And I just want to share that with you guys.
Are you guys encouraged? Okay, well, I am. This particular Sabbath, we are just going to highlight a particular ministry, because we want to give some practical tips. You know, I think a lot of us are pretty full, pretty fat on biblical knowledge. It's time to actually present a way that maybe you can share all the knowledge that you have, okay? You know, there are so many people who are hungry for the things that you know. The fact that you know that Sabbath is Saturday, people are hungry for that. I can tell you a story. My friend David Fernandez, Vuong and John, you guys know him. While we were big booking, and I've told this story before, but it amazes me. He goes up to a church, non-denominational church, and then he starts sharing what he does, which is selling books. And then, you know, as he starts talking to this pastor says, you know, as I was studying my Bible, I came to the conviction that the seventh day is the Sabbath, and we need to start keeping it. And then I presented it to my church, and you know what? They all accepted it. A whole church, because of one pastor's study of the Bible, okay? And David, who's a Seventh-day Adventist, comes up to him later on and says, you know, do you believe that Jesus is coming soon? He says, yeah. He's like, do you believe the seventh day is the Sabbath? He's like, yes. You know you're a Seventh-day Adventist, right? He goes, really? You know, the amazement of his voice was that, whoa, Seventh-day Adventists, they're too out of our league. There's no way we can be part of the Seventh-day Adventist church. There are stones crying out, you guys, we have so much work to do, and you guys have this awesome privilege to share it with people. And so we want to give you just simple practical tips on how to share. And one method that this church is using is, I'm sure you're familiar with GLOW. I don't have my notes, but if you quickly... Okay, we'll do this as quick as I can. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 3, 9 to 12. We're going to keep this quick. Before Jesus comes, okay, we are told that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting with verse 3, okay, and then I'm going to jump down to 9 and 12, but start with me in verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, which is the second coming, will come not unless the what? Are you guys there? falling away, okay? The falling away comes first, okay? Before Jesus comes, there is this falling away that happens. Okay, now jump with me down to verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. According to this verse, there is a time that is going to come to the church, because you don't fall away if you're not in the church. It's a time where there will come to the church many and many people who will fall away from the truth. And the reason for that is, according to the verse, they do not have a what? They do not have a love for the truth. This is what is known as the shaking. There is coming a time when you cannot look to your leaders for guidance. You will have to rely on what you know from your heart. Do you have a love for that truth? I'm going to try and run through this as fast as possible. You know, it is called the shaking. And you know, during the time when Jesus was lifted up on that cross, there was a son of perdition that was revealed, who was shown to be a not actual disciple. Do you guys know who I'm talking about? Judas Iscariot. In that same way, when truth comes to your church, comes to your heart, there is a dividing line that cuts straight down the middle. And you can either choose to make your heart love that truth, or you can choose to fall away because you do not love that truth. The shaking. And so there will come a time when the brightest stars of our church, we are told, will fade to darkness. That can sound discouraging, but Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. Let's turn there. See, in Revelation in chapter 17, we hear about all about Babylon and the mystery and these cities and these people who are in a sense deceived by the mystery of Babylon the Great. And yet, amidst all of that confusion comes Revelation chapter 18, verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. Verse 2. And he cried mightily with a loud voice. While the shaking happens, and we see the brightest stars of our church fade away, and the people who are unable to withstand the persecution that comes, the church is not only shaken by the persecution, but it is shaken with a mighty wind of the Holy Spirit, known as the latter rain. Do you guys know what the former rain is? See, when you farm, there's two types of rains. You have a light rain that happens earlier in the year, and it just sort of germinates a seed. You don't see anything that happens. But then comes the latter rain, and the latter rain is just this torrential drain from the sky, and that rain is what germinates all the seeds and makes it grow. See, and turn to Acts chapter 2, 41. Chapter 2, 41. In the former rain, this is described as the former rain, okay? In the former rain, when Jesus tells the disciples after he dies, go to Jerusalem and wait there for me, and I will send you the Holy Spirit. They wait for 10 days. They pray. They Bible study. In their Bible study, they realize we need to replace Judas. And they pray some more, and they study some more. And then, because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Peter and the disciples go out. And in Acts 41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about how many? 3,000. See, that is called the former rain. Can you imagine if we decided to pray for 10 days and then John stands up and then suddenly we had not just 3,000, but 6,000 decided to be baptized in that day? That is prophetic. It is coming. But so not only will people be leaving the church, but because of the faithful who stay, those gaps will be filled up by people flooding into the church. What makes the difference between those who stay and those who leave? The love of the truth. Turn to John chapter 5:39. I'm sorry, John 17:17 first. John 17:17 says, we learn in John 17:17 what is truth. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You want a love for the truth? Find a love for God's word. Why do we need to find a love for God's word? Now turn to John chapter 5, verse 39. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Truth is not about a Sabbath or which day is right. Truth is not about, you know that when you die, you are not in heaven or hell. Truth is not that. But we know, let's all look up here, John 14:6, Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Truth is not some doctrine. Truth is beyond the words in the Bible that you're holding right now, but truth is a person who is real, and he loves you with all his heart. And not only does he love you with all his heart, but there's a whole world that he's trying to save. And so this is why we need to go out there. It says in John chapter 12 that he who serves me follows me. Actually, let's turn there. Okay, last verse. John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Verse 25 and 26. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. Do you catch that? Because where Jesus is, his servant will be there. Why? Because when you serve him, you follow him. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. When you have a love for the truth and you have a love for Christ in your heart, you will go where he leads you. So, anyways, why literature? Why scriptures? Because if there's anything that's, you know, when I mention and we talk about GLOW and using GLOW, it's not that the GLOW so much is we're looking to convert souls and baptize souls in that moment. But the importance of that GLOW is it leads them to Bible studies. That's the end goal of any kind of evangelism. Any evangelism is to lead them back to the scriptures so that they search for themselves and they get to know God for themselves. We're actually told that in a large degree through our publishing houses is to be accomplished the work of that other angel mentioned in Revelation 18, which we are told is the latter rain, comes down from heaven with great power and who lightens the earth with his glory. The work of the latter rain, a lot of it will be due to the fact of literature. It's not that we're trying to be gimmicky, we're just trying to follow instructions. Instruction says that the latter rain, a lot of what will happen to bring in all these people to the last call is through literature. Literature that leads them to the study of the Bible. So what is literature evangelism? Simply, you bring the literature, and the literature does the evangelism. How many of you guys feel nervous talking to people and sharing to them about your faith and what it is to be a Christian? Be honest. Okay, I am with you. Trust me. This is why I promote literature evangelism, because I get nervous about it. And this has been my way, and that I found that is the most easiest to overcome that, because I don't really have to share so much as, you know, lead them to say, hey, you know what? Check it for yourself. And you know, what's nice about literature is that you ever get into an argument with somebody, and then as you're trying to tell your point, before you can finish, the other person already jumps in and says, no, 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 no. And you go, well, let me finish my, like, no, you know, and it goes back and forth. The thing about literature, You know, it's like when you get into an argument with somebody and you write out a letter so that they can't argue back, but they have to read the whole thing and then they understand the whole story. That's the same thing with literature. No matter what kind of objections they may have, you know, the literature, they have to read through the whole thing before they can completely say their objection. The power of literature evangelism. Who can be a literature evangelist? Let every, what's that right there? Seventh-day Adventist. How many of you guys in here are Seventh-day Adventists? Oh, amazing, me too. Ask himself, what can I do to proclaim the third angel's message? Christ came to this world to give this message to his servant to give to the churches. It is to be proclaimed to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. You are not an accident that you are in this Vietnamese church. It is not an accident that you are sitting in this pew. Because you are sitting in this pew as a Seventh-day Adventist, you have been called specifically to reach back to the people that God has called us from. We have a work to do. And there is a high honor. Know and understand. The founders, like Mukshri Lehu, who have started up this church, you think that the church will end less than how it started? No. The effort and the work and the foundation that has been built, it is meant to build to something great. How are we to give it? The distribution of literature is one means by which the message is to be proclaimed. Let how many believers? Every believer. Every believer scatter broadcast tracts. Cool. Every believer can do evangelism in the simple way. And actually, every believer is called to. So we have GLOW. And you know, these are all the different tracts that are out there and are available. And I'm going to just share with you some awesome things that I've been finding. Does it work? This I just found from Facebook, and this is from May 17, okay? This is a girl from high school, and she just graduated in 2012, and she says, "Hello, my name is Jessica. I have read a couple of your pamphlets. They are very interesting. I would like to know where I can purchase your books if you were to have some. The message you put out in your text is inspiring and gets Christians like me excited for the Lord's return. Thank you so much." I am so tempted to just write back and say, "My name's Jessica too. Where'd you find yours?" So I'm just so curious, but I thought that's really cool. GLOW works, you guys. You know, I'm going to just keep, because of time, I might have to jump through a lot of things. But why, on the back of the GLOW, just for those of you who don't know, every GLOW has a means for somebody to go onto that website and find Bible studies, find books, just like that girl who wrote on Facebook. And when the information goes to the church, I mean, goes to the GLOW organization, they send it to the local churches to send us the Bible study contacts to work with. These are just some of the testimonies. This was from this year. I think you might notice a familiar name up there. Found a flyer at the bank. This person actually went and got Bible studies. And this is because of a flyer that Dewey, you know, designed and put the GLOW. And remember, we all distributed it out in front of Sam's Club? Look, it got someone to get Bible studies, you guys. Someone found it on the pamphlet on the bus. Random person gave it to me. Found it on Amtrak, at my doctor's office. Found a GLOW on a gas station pump. Someone gave me a tract. Found a pamphlet on the ground. Even if somebody decides to ignore it, somebody else will find it on the ground and it will touch someone's heart. God can use small means. If he can use a stone to take down Goliath, trust me, he can take down someone's stony heart with just a pamphlet on the ground. Okay. So now I'm going to give you just basic runways, ways, practical ways that you can GLOW. Okay. There's only 10, okay? And so, you know, I'm going to show you all these ways that you can pass out your 10 pieces of GLOW within perhaps this week, you know, ideally this week. It's not too hard, right? Just leave it somewhere. Or within however long it takes you, but hopefully soon. Only 10, okay? So I'm going to share with you some awesome ways and testimonies that have been shared that I have heard on how what happens with GLOW. Okay, GLOW. You can GLOW while you're doing errands, going to the store. There was a man, I'm sure you've heard this before, he bought a barbecue grill, And inside the barbecue grill that he brought from, like, bought from Lowe's, he found a tract on what happens after you die. And from that, he asked for Bible studies. Okay, no matter where you go, you can use, you can just throw a glow tract somewhere. This one, there's even divine appointments. Okay, man and his wife, they sent their child, non-Adventist family, sent their child to a vacation Bible school, and they start teaching the child that, you know, seventh day is the Sabbath. The child comes back and says to his mom and dad, why don't we keep the Sabbath holy? And they're like, don't know, you know? So they decide to pray about it. Within days of their prayer asking for guidance, this man goes to Walmart and he finds inside the shopping cart and he's like, oh man, trash. And he looks at it, he's like, oh, it's a glow track and the day to remember. It was an answer to prayer. And he says, wow. So he actually decided to get Bible studies and he's from that track. So it doesn't matter where you go, you can actually start doing it. Drive-through fast food. Girl working at Taco Bell. Man decides, I get to maybe get his vegetarian bean burrito or something, but while he gets his burrito, gives her a tract on when Jesus comes again. Just that, she decides, you know what? I think I'm going to get Bible studies. Let's see. Restaurant tips. Leave it on tables. When you go to restaurants, take your glow tract, you know, put the tip inside the glow tract. Whoever gets the tip is going to take the glow tract too. There is actually a story. Baptist minister. He sees on the table in a restaurant glow track on spiritualism. Baptist pastor, he takes Bible studies. Amazing. You're like, you know, simple ways, just leave it anywhere you want, and you never know who God will make it cross paths with. Bill payments. This is pretty cool. Okay, how many of you guys get credit card offers in the mail and they send you like these envelopes with like postage paid and everything? I do. I get credit card offers all the time. Okay. You can take that envelope, put in a glow track, and send it back to them, okay? You're evangelizing on their money. You save yourself money, too. And you know what? Possibly, maybe they'll stop sending you credit card offers, or maybe someone will get baptized. There's actually a story. Lady, she mails State of the Dead track to her sister. Oh, no, to a friend of hers. Her friend reads it, is so excited about it, photocopies it, sends it to her brother in another state. Her brother reads it, calls up his sister. They have a Bible study over the phone. The guy calls back the friend and says, where is the nearest Seventh-day Adventist church? If this is what you guys believe, I want to join. Just from mailing. Snail mail still works. Garage sales. This one is powerful. There's a group of people. What they do is when they do garage sales, they give a glow tract every time to their customer. One lady, her husband just passed away. When her husband passed away, she didn't have enough money to go through with a proper funeral, so she cremated the body. She tells the priest that, and the priest says, oh, you shouldn't have done that. He can't go to heaven now. She's like tortured. She's like, she now thinks that because of what she's done, her husband is now burning in hell, and she is just burdened with this. And then she gets this tract from the garage sale about what happens after you die. And she is relieved. The truth has set her free. When you're traveling, wherever you go, you know, leave it in bathrooms or something. I can, you know, there's actually a story of a man who was wondering about why he kept the Sabbath. His family did it when he was young. He sort of stopped being a Christian, got married, and his family, and then his wife and children wanted to keep Sunday, go to church holy, and he's like, he was trying to remember why he kept Sabbath when he was young, but he didn't know. And then while he's in the bathroom, he finds a tract on the Sabbath, an answer to prayer. School. How many of you guys are going to school? How many of you guys are in a school that doesn't know the truth about the Sabbath or the truth about the state of the dead? Or perhaps even know that God cares? You know, there's this awesome story. Girl, she goes to a public college campus. She has a class on sociology. I think it's ethics, moral ethics. She comes early one day, and she decides, she always carries a stack of random glow tracks, and so she's like, oh, this is my chance. She goes to every desk and leaves out a glow track, random tracks, and then when she looks at it, she realizes that she just happened to choose one type of tract, and it was called the restoration of a morality. Teacher comes in, you know, and the class is like, what in the world? And then teacher says, huh, you know, all of you guys have this on your desk. You know, I've been seeing these around campus. Go ahead and open it. Today's topic, we're actually going to be studying about relativism. He opens up the glow track, and the first line is about moral relativism. You know, this girl who passed was like, whoa, that's amazing. She's like, when I get home, I got to check this out. She didn't have any more. The Holy Spirit happened to lead her to choose the only one, and she didn't even know what she left for herself. Man, like, it's you ask God to lead you and to witness, he will do it. You can give it to the homeless people. You know, there's been bums that say, yeah, cool, I'm collecting these. Laundromats. Story is, man, Christian man, he was non-Adventist. He was looking to find comics to give to some of the youth. The comic bookstore that he used to go to closed down, but then he went to the laundromat, and while he's at the laundromat, there's three tracks, glow tracks, and he says, awesome. He actually calls into the glow and asks for more tracks to give to his youth. The thing about it, you know, don't think, we don't have to be shy about handing these out to people, because they actually say that at the glow office, there are many, it is not uncommon for more calls to be coming from non-Adventists asking and ordering glow tracks to give to other people than Adventist callers. We need not to cringe at the message that we have to declare. Hotel rooms. If you go traveling, you guys ever see those Bibles on the side next to the bed? The Gideon Bibles? You know what? Take a glow track, maybe take one on the Sabbath, stick it in Exodus chapter 20. They can have a Bible study, whoever opens the Bible. I know that John actually found glow tracks inside the Bible once where he went traveling. And so there's a story. Oh, man, there's so many stories, but I have so little time. You can ask me later. Okay. Airplanes. If you go traveling, there's actually a story where a man was going through a scanner. The security guard, you know, he's taking all his stuff, putting it on the side in the wallet, and the security guard looks at the glow tracks and he goes, oh, hey, can I have one of these? You know, the man goes, cool. He's like, yeah, take all of them. Security guard says, oh, no, I don't need those. I already have the other ones. I just want this one. Okay. There, people, the more we can saturate and get these truths out, people are open to them. We don't have to be afraid of, like, just people are interested. Okay. Halloween. Every Halloween, our church has a couple of our members have been participating in Glow in the Dark. We really encourage you to join us this upcoming year. It's a bunch of other church and youth and people who gather around for Halloween for the purpose of passing out Glow. Last year, we went out to Downtown Disney, and they actually caught word of us on NPR. I thought that was pretty cool. You know, join us for Halloween, because people are expecting you at their doors anyways, right? They're expecting you to come to their doors, expecting someone to knock on their door. And so what easier way to just say, hey, rather than a trick, I'm going to give you truth. We have public tables. You know, if you're just walking by a table, just drop one. There's a girl. Her name was Ashley. She happened to come to a convention. She wasn't sure. She was late. She decided, okay, well, let me just drop off a couple of glows. She left that on the public table. Chaplain. Chaplain happens to come by, sees the glow track, and it says, does God care that I'm hurting? He grabs that glow track, and he actually orders 900 for all of his prisoners, of which he's a chaplain for. Because of one glow track, 900 other people get to know truth. And not only that, ever since then, he's actually called like more than once and probably ordered 2,000 more for every time. So because of one glow track, more than 2,000 people have actually gotten truth. Work desk. If you work, you can leave some on your desk. There's a man who was experiencing after hours office theft. And then he thought, you know what? I'm going to leave my glow tracks. Maybe if they're stealing things, they'll steal some glow tracks. Nothing changes. He notices that nothing changes on his glow tracks. Nothing's being taken. And then one night he stays late after work, and the janitor comes up to him and she says, oh, are you the one that's been leaving the glow tracks? He's like, yeah. He's like, I've read every single one of them. Thank you. Turns out she was taking them, but then putting them back. gas station. This is a really easy, common one. You can slip it in where the receipts are. You can put it in at the gas pump. And you know what? Know that it actually does reach people, like this one. Monday early evening, I was feeling very depressed and went to the gas station. There on the pump was this little pamphlet, and it made me feel as if Jesus was trying to show me he is with me. He wanted to let me know not to lose my faith. This was just what I needed that day because it lifted my spirits. Thank you. We're going to be going door to door as a church today. Together, we're going to pass out. We have everything set up for you guys. It's going to be very easy. And we're going to go out there just to get to know our community. We need to know our community. We need to know their needs. And we're going to just hand them glow. It's going to be very easy. And we really encourage you guys to stay. It's actually happening at 2, not at 3. Sorry for the mistake on the schedule. But we're going to, we really encourage you. We'll provide you with all the training you need, everything. And it's really simple. And we're going to glow as a church. You know, there are so many people that are hungry for the truth. This is an awesome one. There's a girl in Arizona who would take the bus. She takes the bus every day. And then this one day, she's sitting next to a man, and she had this overwhelming conviction to hand him a glow track. And she was so nervous, and she's like, I can't do this. I don't want it. And she was just, like, struggling as the whole bus ride. And then, you know, as the bus is about to stop, she finally musters up the courage, and she's cringing to give it to him, and she gives it to him. The man looks at it, and he says, you know, I was just praying whether God cared and if I should commit suicide. I think this is a sign. And he steps off the bus. What if she didn't give it to him? There are millions and millions of people who don't know that there's a God that exists and cares. And even if they know that God exists, they don't know who he is. They don't have a love for the truth. I'm going to share this one story because I just think it's, I shared it last time, but, you know, okay. Maybe I shouldn't. Okay. Anyways, share it with you everywhere. You guys have your packets on you? Okay. On your packets, you will notice there's a strip of, don't peel them off. They're glue dots. We just thought it was fun. You can actually take these glue dots, stick it on the back of a glow, and stick it anywhere you want. Hung and I have been playing around, and you can stick it on a lamppost. So people who push the button and wait to cross the street, hey, they now have something to read. It's easy to peel off, and they can read it, and so it's pretty cool. Stick it, have fun with it. Just start glowing. You want to have a glow mindset. How do you have a glow mindset? Read through the tracks. We chose some of the most easiest and popular ones to start for your starter pack. Just read through them, know them for yourself. Choose a spot in your house or somewhere so you don't forget to just take them with you. Leave them, give them to your cashiers, leave them places when people you don't know. You know, it doesn't matter. God can use it. Pray for divine appointments. I think I'm going to share it. Okay. The one story that I decided not to share, I'm going to share it again. I know this will be a repeat. But Pastor Ivor Myers and his Bible worker were going door to door once, and they had a Bible study interest that they needed to go talk to. As they come up to this house of this lady that they were going to give Bible studies to, lady comes out and says, you have to help me, you have to help me, my son, he wants to commit suicide. Please go to the back. The pastor and the Bible worker, they run to the back, and this young man, he's in there trying to console him, and he's just weeping. And they, you know, the young man, the Bible worker, doesn't know what to say, and they're trying to console him. So the young man, the Bible worker, sticks in his hand, pulls out a glow track, and hands him, does God care that I'm hurting? The young man who's considering suicide, he looks at it, and he was crying. Now he's crying even more. And the Bible worker's like, oh, did I do something wrong? And then he goes, and the young man says, you don't understand. For the past 3 consecutive days, I've been given this tract of that God, does God care that I'm hurting? They were able to give him Bible studies. He is, not only did he become Adventist, but he went to Arise, which is like Amazing Facts College of Evangelism. It's Arise with David Attrick. And not only did he go by himself, but he pulled his friends to go with him to Arise. And you know what? It's because of not just one person handing out a glow tract, but 2 other people the day before who were handing out glow tracts, that God was able to use those people and to save this young man's life, but not only this young man's life, but all the other people he now gives Bible studies to. this trickle effect. You know, Luke 16, verse 10, last verse. Would you say that GLOW is pretty simple? Would you say it's not like you're doing an evangelistic series, right? You're not asked to go stand in front of someone's door, convert them that day, and then get them baptized in that day. But it's really simply something small. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. Excuse me as I look for it myself. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust also in much. It's just the small things. You know, when the shaking comes and you see people start falling away, it's not that the shaking made people leave the church. The shaking is a result of the little things that we have built up in our character that determine, do we have a love for the truth or do we not? When the latter rain falls and the Holy Spirit rests upon us to go do great and mighty wonders to get that people, more than 3,000 will be baptized in a day because it will be greater than the former rain, is the latter rain. The latter rain does not make you a holy Christian on fire for God, but it is the result of the little things. If you are faithful in what is least, if you are faithful in the small things, the things where you don't see results, the things that make you wonder, is there anyone that cares or notices? Guaranteed, the Holy Spirit notices. And if you are faithful in the small things now, when the latter rain falls, the Holy Spirit knows that your heart is one that is open to be used because you've already been doing it. It's the small things that build up to the big things. And so, if we can go ahead and just have David come up for congregational prayer, we're going to have just a short prayer of encouragement for all the whole congregation. If we actually could come forward, come closer as a church, because I'm sure there are some of us who are like, oh, I've never done this before, I don't know if I'm going to do it. And so David's going to lead out with a short prayer, and then we're going to close the service with song.
Heavenly Father, thank you for all the truth that you shared us. Now is the time for us to share that truth with others. Please give us your wisdom, your patience, your kindness, and your Holy Spirit to just give us courage to go out in the community, to share tracts with people, whether to speak with them or just leave it in a place where someone will find it. Please bless us and just be with us as we go out and just try to share your word with as many people as we can. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
We're going to have our closing song, and then we'll split for potluck. Oh, yeah. Can you plug it into the... Sorry. You can stay standing as we sing our last song. And shine for Christ. Sorry, my guitar seems to be out of tune.
Lord, the light of your love is shining in the midst of the darkness. Shine, Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring. Shine on me, shine on me. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this
bow our heads for prayer. Lord God, shine on us, Lord, that we may reflect to others your awesome glory, your awesome mercy. God, purify our hearts, purify our lips, Lord, knowing that we come from the throne room of the God of heaven. What have we to fear, knowing that you have called us to go forth, Lord? We thank you so much, Lord. May we shine not our glory, but your glory from here on today. And Lord, that we may see you face to face in all your glory. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.